The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you'll be listening to right here, youtube.com/Steve and Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell after it to subscribe to Going In Raw, and make sure you're always aware when there's new Going In Raw content. Larson, is that correct?
Yeah.
All right, sounds good. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steve and Larson, where we have three patron-only live streams every single week. If you enjoy this show that you're seeing today live, you can watch that live. We have pre-show. We have the post-show. On Tuesdays, we have chat. No, Wednesdays, we have chat trivia.
Yes.
Where people can win stuff, including autographed cards. They're usually autographed by us.
Yeah.
But they're cards of other wrestlers.
Yes.
We're also available at Pro Wrestling Tees, ProWrestlingTees.com/Going In Raw. You're wearing, finally, I'm very happy about this.
Well, I guess I lost predictions yesterday, so.
You're wearing your, how is that? This is not a lost shirt right here. This is a Bullet Club Hunter shirt, man. Bullet Club's the hottest thing going right now, Larson.
Yeah.
So, it's a good thing that you're wearing. That's a high-quality shirt.
Oh, it is a high-quality shirt. It's very comfortable, yes.
I'm glad that you pointed out that I won predictions, because I totally did win predictions about TLC, WWE TLC. That's what we're here to talk about.
Yes.
Yeah. So, very exciting stuff. In a nutshell, let's just get into this.
It's a fun show.
I thoroughly enjoyed the show. There were at least three major, major mark-out moments. And then there are a bunch of other sub-markout moments as well.
And perhaps just as importantly, or maybe more importantly, the consistency of the card.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
There really wasn't a bad match on the card. The weakest was probably the cruiserweight match.
Yeah.
But everything else was very enjoyable, well done. You can definitely tell the wrestlers were really putting in their all.
Yeah, no, for sure, absolutely. I think everybody knew that it was a special. I mean, who would have thought meningitis would come through like that? Like, I think it's not just that they
or
like,
the mumps. We've yet to receive confirmation exactly, exactly what was the ailment afflicting the wrestlers held off the card. But
we're waiting for our inside sources to let us know what the exact illness was.
Yep.
But anyways, everybody. It's not just that everybody pulled together. It's that, and this honestly, you see this happen, and it's a shame. I think our friend Brian Zane from Wrestling with Regret, he issued like this little statement of his own. I don't think he recorded, like, a new predictions like we did. He was just like, screw it, I'm just going to type this out.
Yeah, yeah.
And he basically said, you know, this is really cool, this stuff is going on, but, like, I wish that it wouldn't take injury or illness to give creative
a kick in the pants.
Exactly. And I agree with that sentiment.
Wow, Jason Hicks, thank you very much. $20.
Oh, that's very nice of you, Jason. Thank you. And so he's right. It shouldn't take injury or meningitis or the mumps to cause this kind of, I mean, we had
creativity.
We had zero buildup for Finn Balor versus AJ Styles. And I know there are people out there, you know, on our Twitter feed or in our chat when we were doing the live stream saying, you know, they're wasting this. They're wasting this with no buildup. It was part of the buildup is in their history.
Yeah.
You need buildup.
In a lot of feuds in New Japan, the storyline is pretty much this. I challenge you to a match.
Right.
We have match.
They have like a formal challenging system. You know, you just come out and say, match.
And then they have match, and the story of their feud is a story told in the ring.
Right, exactly.
For the most part, you know, there's an exception to that. Like this Naito-Okada match coming up at Wrestle Kingdom is more or less 3 years in the making.
Right, yeah.
There's a lot of story behind it.
Yeah.
But if you watch the product, know all the beats in the story, then you can appreciate where it's going. And, but they're not really concentrating on all those beats necessarily.
And there was never any time when people would, like, you know, talk about evil forces and how, I mean, maybe with evil himself, but he's like a special situation.
Yeah.
But there's never like, hey, hey man, my sister is now in me, and I got a little cloth over my head. I got a veil over my head, and then Pumpkin Balor shows up and it's his cheese ball. Like, you don't need that stuff. I mean, that stuff is so inherently WWE that it's sort of like, I might actually miss it if it wasn't around anymore.
Well, it's a different type of wrestling than some of the other promotions. So there's a place for it.
There's a place for it. It's just, it's by and large unnecessary, as we saw last night. You know, you just fly in AJ Styles. These guys were both, for, you know, these are the first two leaders of Bullet Club.
Yep, that's your story. And they were not shying away from it. The only thing they did not say were the words Bullet Club.
Oh, I know. Commentary was all over it. I know. It was great.
I think Corey Graves said...
The infamous club or the...
Notorious.
Notorious club?
Finn Balor starting his notorious club.
Yeah.
Robbie, 1896, 5 pounds, he asks, are you friends again? Have you smoothed things out after the fight last night? This is my peace offering.
I knew it. You're such a. I hate when you do that.
What?
Because it's as if you're. There's no amends to be made. God, we've been doing this for how long? Like we've known each other for 20 years. I'm allowed to get annoyed with you, and then everything is totally fine within 5 seconds. That's the allowance we have.
Okay.
You're allowed to get annoyed with me, and I don't have to do anything in return. I usually do. I think there's no amends to be made. This is just a relationship that's been 20 plus years
of knowing each other.
Mm-hmm. Everything's A-okay.
Wait, whose birthday is it?
The funny thing is, I was legitimately annoyed with you for maybe about for the 5 seconds of you throwing the headphones.
See, here's the thing.
To the side in disrespect.
No, here's the thing.
Oh no, you let me finish.
Okay,
I'm not gonna have you interrupt this. And then after that, I was like, when you were saying, "Are you really mad at me?" I was like, "No." But this is a great work because I love the comments when we fight on air.
Yeah, people like to see us fight. Here's the thing.
They get worried sometimes.
So you got the earbuds, and I'm very set in my ways, and I was like, no, it's cool. And I didn't mean for it to be this huge dramatic thing where I chucked them at the ottoman.
You totally did.
I just meant to toss them over there so they're out of the way.
Yeah.
But instead, it's like I threw them against the wall, basically, and that wasn't my intention. So it came off more dramatic than it really intended to be.
I honestly didn't care. In the end, especially when I decided to rage quit the stream, that was all work.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. There's way more important things in life. Anyways, let's talk about the beginning of the show. It kicked off. So Drew Gulak got bumped. He got bumped.
That's a bummer, but apparently he dropped a promo on the pre-show panel expressing his frustration with getting bumped. So at least he got some
time. He got that, yeah. We got Sasha Banks in the kickoff match. Sasha Banks versus Alicia Fox. I thought, hey, maybe we'll get, you know, because they've been giving a bit more of a spotlight to Alicia Fox lately. And so I figured maybe...
Especially if she's in line for a program against Asuka.
Yeah,
a little mini push. Make her look strong.
Yeah. I did. There was sort of in the back of my head. I was like, you know, that's not totally a lock for me, though, because it's Sasha Banks she's going up to. Are you serious? And of course, I was wrong about that. Sasha Banks did, in fact, make Alicia Fox tap out to the bank statement. Decent match, though. Alicia Fox, she's been doing this forever. She can
go. She can
go if they let her go.
Yeah.
So that was okay. Sasha seems... I think this is before cameras roll on. I hate to use your words, given that cameras weren't on, but you did say that Sasha came out with Lou's face.
Yeah, well, yeah, it seemed like when she came out, she had Lou's face, yes. But also it could just be, why am I on pre-show face?
Yeah, I mean, now that we all know, you know, there's no royalties involved with pre-show.
Well, not for DVD sales.
It's for DVD sales. And apparently, hey, that's a check. A check is a check.
It could be also for, you know, since I know the pre-show is on the network, but also it's on...
Oh, pay-per-view itself, yeah.
But it's not on the pay-per-view itself, right?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. They probably use it to sell the... If they're still doing it this way, the kickoff show is used to sell pay-per-view.
Yeah, true.
So, anyways, like I said, this is a decent enough match. I mean, this isn't going to go anywhere. If this was originally supposed to be Nia Jax, number one, that would be really surprising if this would have been the kickoff show if it was Nia Jax. Something tells me this would have been flipped with the Cruiserweight tag match.
Yeah,
probably. And, in fact, I kind of think it should have been anyways. But...
That Cruiserweight tag match is really good.
No, it was fun. It's just kind of inconsequential. Like, you know, you do the tag matches in the build-up, not in the blow-off. You know?
Well, I think this is the build-up. Well, I mean, it's still possible there's more to this feud. That feud, sorry, in the Cruiserweight division. So this could be one piece in a feud that culminates. Well, I mean, if you look at it this way, I don't know if it's necessarily be the case, but if there is the 5-on-5 Cruiserweight Survivor Series match, you know, this could be a part. And granted, it's not actively a part of the larger story per se right now, but it could lead that way. You never know.
I think my main point is this. Rich, one of my, I really enjoyed the Rich Swann TJP feud,
yeah,
where it was like friends and they're not friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The blow off to that, I think, is the main card worthy match.
Agreed.
This tag match, I just felt it was kind of kickoff.
Storyline wise.
Storyline wise. I was happy that the Cruiserweights got on the main show. I'm very happy for that. You know, Sasha can be on the main show every single time. They, you know, obviously aren't seen that way. Let's see here. Then we had a Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins interview where they...
Seth Rollins was trying to laugh a couple of times during the numerous interviews.
Dean was trying to be, he was being very intense, and Seth was sort of... Seth cannot contain his fanboyishness these
days. Yeah, his glee.
I feel like Seth has a really good sense of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Look, I would never criticize anybody for wanting a better lot in life, for wanting greener pastures. If you're going to complain about your creative lot in the WWE, Seth has nothing I feel to complain about. They treat him like an absolute king, like royalty.
Yeah.
And maybe that feeds into it, but I feel like he has a really, really good time with his job. And that's always fun to see.
Yeah.
You hate to see somebody who's disgruntled.
Yeah.
Although I thought it was kind of funny that Neville was doing some of his best work, and evidently it was just how
he was channeling his actual emotions, yes.
Exactly.
So when he was sitting ringside at NXT and he had no expression on his face.
That was just him.
There was no acting. Yeah, there was no character work. That was just Neville.
Mm-hmm.
Genuine Neville. Kicking off the main card, Emma against
the
debuting Asuka.
Oh, man, my heart. I was so, like, it was, this was one of the biggest moments of NXT call-ups I can even think of.
It's a pretty plumb spot, too, to kick off the show. And that's, you know, usually that match for a pay-per-view is the match to get the crowd excited,
right? Yeah.
Ready for a 3-hour wrestling show.
Yeah.
And Asuka got a good pop when she came out.
Mm-hmm.
The buzz was palpable. It translated through your television set.
Yeah. It was special.
It felt special. I didn't mind that the match lasted longer than 5 minutes per se.
All right, let's talk about
that. I thought about this when I got home last night. This is kind of how I wish they had done it instead of how they did do it.
Okay.
I like Emma putting forth some offense, getting opportunities to look strong.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like they kind of booked it like this. Book Asuka like she's a Terminator. You can get your licks in.
Mm-hmm.
You can get some offense in. You can knock Asuka down, but she's going to get right back up, and she's going to come charging right towards you.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, looking in hindsight, there was moments that kind of like that where Emma would you know, get some offense in. Asuka would look at her saying, all right, this is cool. Let's do more.
Mm-hmm.
But add a little more menace to it.
Yeah.
That's just my take. Because it's one thing in NXT, and granted, we got to see Asuka's character development in NXT, so there was a connection. The sense of dominance that she had over the entire division, and granted, I know it was one match.
Mm-hmm.
That you just don't get that. You didn't get that same sense I felt from this one
match. See, that's what I liked about it, though.
Well, no, you mentioned that while it happened. It's like, okay, she's in the main roster now. It's a step up. The competition's going to be better. I understand that.
That's what I liked about it. That's what when people criticize the match for being going as long as it did. I didn't anticipate them taking this approach, but it was obvious that, it was obvious that the story here was this isn't, and in a way, it's funny because a lot of people said, did her undefeated streak make the NXT women's roster look weak? No, but this first match might have, because now you're on a whole different level. You're up on the main roster. I know that she's had a match with Emma before, but there has to be some drama to her run on the main roster. And so it can't be just her completely dominating everybody. There's no drama in that. There has to be some amount of...
Well, if I think you take the Terminator approach, then there is drama there because...
Why are you using Terminator, not Predator?
Well,
she reminds me of Predator much more.
Well, this thing that, you know... At least the first two Terminator movies are structured the same way, where you have some scenes to develop character, and then Terminator shows up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fight. Eventually, Linda Hamilton gets away because she did just enough to Terminator to escape it.
Yeah.
But at the end, Terminator always comes back.
This is why I like the Predator reference. Because, shit, I totally just lost it. Oh, because there's... The Terminator is what you call a machine. That is, he is a machine. Predator is more of is an alien,
yeah, an alien
with, like, you know, complex feelings and emotions, right? For him,
yeah,
it's a hunt. For a Terminator, it's just programming. For the Predator, there's a purpose there. There's a game there. There's varying, conflicting emotions there. And that's what I like about this approach with Asuka, is that it's not simply dominance. It's not simply, oh, I've come from dominating this, now I'm going to dominate this. It's, oh, there's a whole new landscape here. I'm in different territory. I need to be cautious.
I would feel probably more in line with your feelings if this match wasn't against someone she already beat in NXT.
Yeah, I mean, that plays into it, but we've seen, as with Bobby Roode, this is maybe even a different universe.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Sometimes it's kind of alternate, especially in the case of Bobby Roode, it's alternate.
And it kind of, I at least am optimistic that whoever is handling Asuka's creative on Raw has at least watched her stuff in NXT. At least whoever edited the video packages leading to her debut watched her stuff in NXT, so maybe nothing else, that person can communicate some notes to whoever's handling Asuka's creative in the event that person has not watched Asuka's work in NXT.
Yeah. I liked it, though. I thought it was good. It went
about 10 minutes.
Almost 10 minutes. I thought it was good. I think you can't be, And here's the thing. For people worried about Asuka and how they're going to handle her, what is the one thing that WWE loves? They love streaks. Wouldn't surprise me at all if... And win streaks especially are very, very important.
Yeah.
I don't know what the next stepping stone is for her. They compared her streak initially to Goldberg.
Yeah. We need something like Bruno's.
I'm thinking
8-year undefeated streak.
That's what I'm thinking, man. I mean, it's been 2 years for Asuka, roughly. About 2 years. Another 6 is not really that much.
That's a long time to hold that title.
Yeah, man.
Unless they really take their time putting that belt on her. But I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't think they could do that.
No.
I don't know. I'm fascinated to see where they go with Asuka. I'm not going to say necessarily that I have faith, but I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
I think that they understand that this is a different situation.
Yes.
Than a Bobby Roode.
I would hope so.
And that smile is glorious.
I also feel like Raw, by and large, has done, this year at least, done a better job with their NXT call-ups. Before the Revival kept getting hurt. I mean, they debuted at the Raw after Mania.
Hey, man.
The New Day.
Hey, Raw has been... They've been on a decent streak lately in a couple different respects.
Yeah.
One of the respects is... I mean, they've been kind of up and down with their women's division, but their main event scene has been...
Been solid across the board.
Bang, bang, man. It's been fantastic. So, all right.
After that, we had a promo from The Miz talking to Fee-Bar.
Fee-Bar.
Then in comes Braun Strowman.
Another guy who I think is having all the fun in the world is Cesaro.
Yes.
Oh, but Braun.
Braun,
but
too,
Cesaro,
yeah.
When he gives his promos these days with the
mouthpiece
in there,
yeah.
I think it's hilarious. He seems like he's having a good time with Sheamus.
And then Kane comes in. I believe there was some seeds there of the tension between Braun and Kane during this segment.
Yeah.
That would come to a head during the main event.
And it was great because you're right. There was some foreshadowing there. Miz basically... You know, if he had to understand, and that was, you know, every great villain has to have their fatal flaw, and his is the inability to keep his monsters in check.
Yeah.
And that's what he couldn't do in the end, and like you said, the seeds were sown in this promo.
Yes.
Thought it was cool.
After that, we had Elias on the ramp.
The first of three?
Yes, on the ramp to sing a song to Minneapolis, and as he was strumming... the chords of this song. He referenced Prince.
Yeah.
Someone starts pelting him with produce. First lettuce, then celery.
Yeah.
And then the camera widens out, and it's Jason Jordan.
Well, first we thought it was a fan. At first, I thought.
I didn't think it was a fan.
Really? You didn't think? I thought somebody stuck a piece of...
They're not going to let people bring in produce to the arena.
It was like Golden One Center. You can just, there's plenty of places where you can get produce.
Not in the arena.
You get a salad? Don't you get salad?
You can't get a head of lettuce. That's what was thrown in.
It wasn't a whole head of lettuce.
Yes, it was.
It was a big chunk of lettuce.
It was pretty much a head of romaine.
The crowd reaction, I thought, hey, like, maybe it's just me. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I just thought some dude in the front row chucked some lettuce. Because his reaction was so legit. He was like, Called not Andy. Cool, man.
No, okay, that's fine. I'm glad that you were completely in on it from the beginning. That's good. I was like, where is this coming from? Why would Jason Jordan just be sitting there with a thing of lettuce?
He wasn't sitting there. He had a shopping cart full of produce.
Why?
Because it's...
Explain the kayfabe in that one.
It's the gimmick where there's a performer. The performer sucks.
Yeah.
In your estimation, so you throw produce at
him. He doesn't have like a bag of produce. He has like an entire shopping cart of it.
Why would he have had that?
It's just referencing that thing where you throw tomatoes at a performer that's not good.
Why would he have had an entire grocery
cart?
Because
it's funny. He could have
a sack of tomatoes.
Not as funny as a shopping cart full of produce.
That. It was pretty funny.
It was funny. So the camera cuts, goes wider. Jason Jordan has a shopping cart full of produce.
His new gimmick is greengrocer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so Elias, having his song interrupted,
mm-hmm.
Is in a huff. Segment ends. Next. Cruiserweight tag match. The Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher versus Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann.
Mm-hmm.
Good match. Nice clash of styles between Alexander and Swann and Kendrick and Gallagher. And it played out in the story of the match where the faces would get their offense in, some high-risk, high-flying stuff, and the heels would try to slow it down, striking, ground-based attack. It's back and forth throughout the match. The finish... Saw Kendrick put Cedric Alexander in Captain's Hook. Rich Swann to the Phoenix Splash onto Kendrick while he still has Cedric.
Yeah, that was
Captain's
a good spot. That was a good spot.
Break it up. Gallagher hits the ring. Swann hits him with the spin kick. Gallagher responds directly with the headbutt. And then Cedric pins Kendrick after an awesome lumbar check.
I generally tune these matches out, man. I'll be honest with you.
I can't.
This isn't Raw. You can do that at Raw, but it's a pay-per-view.
I can't help it. There was not a lot different between this and something.
No, there was a lot different.
There wasn't.
Most of the Raw tag matches might get one decent spot, and then it's a lot of rest holds. This actually had a story going for it.
I can't. You can chastise me all you want. I can't help but tune this out sometimes. It's a 205 live tag match, man. I can't. I want to be into it. You know I like these guys.
Yes, then be into it.
No, they need to give me something different. A tag match. It's Pavlovian at this point. At this point, I just can't.
You need to recondition yourself, then.
That's easier said than done, isn't it?
No. If there's four performers you really enjoy, you like their work on a pay per view. This is Cedric Alexander's pay per view debut.
When they're all put together, I know. How's the theme song go?
In the dark, I feel at home.
With my dog, I feel it bone. Look at my green shorts, my friend Rich Swann. I can't get it.
All right.
I mean, what do you want? I can't. You can't force me to get into it.
Why don't you just blow up a beach ball and start having beach ball mania here then?
That gives me a great idea.
If that happens,
what I'm going to do from now on.
I'm leaving.
Survivor Series
2017. One-man stream for Steve. I'm going to go home. Or no, I'm going to do a full Cesaro and rip it with my bare hands.
And then you're going to sit back down?
Yeah.
Because if you leave from that point on, all the super chats are mine.
I understand. I like money. I'll stay, but I'm going to rip that beach ball apart.
All right. Well, that's fair enough. I'll have a couple more in waiting. I'll give them, you know what I'll do? I'll give one to Alabama. Have her come in and play with it. You can't rip that up, a-hole.
At a certain point, she'll just run out.
Aim the dog, you see my bone.
So after that, after Cedric picked up the win, Alexa Bliss interview.
Okay, yeah, this kind of bugged me. That line where she says, I like my butt, it's cute. That bugged the crap out of me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like it. You know why? Okay, I'm not going to say this for sure. I don't know this for absolutely certain. She might have written herself. When she delivered it, she came off as a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
If this was written by a dude, I know. People are going to be, hey, SJW, whatever they want to say. If this is written by a dude,
yeah, it's awkward.
A little awkward, man.
Yeah.
I like my butt. It's cute. Which is totally fine for somebody to say. My butt's ugly. I don't know. Nobody needs to see my butt.
My butt's not handsome either.
But, like, the original thing, biscuit butt, it's along the same lines as when Seth Rollins called Chris Jericho sparkle crotch. Sparkle crotch. That shit, whoever writes that stuff, it's so cringy.
Yeah.
It is so cringeworthy.
Yeah.
And for her to have to continue to address it, it's just, I understand the point of it. I don't think the point of it is to be salacious. I don't. The point of it is to get the crowd chanting something silly at the heel. I totally understand that. It's so cringy, though.
It is.
I don't know. It's not a good look.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. I was just bummed out. Because Lexa Bliss, she handles it. She does what she can with dialogue.
Yeah.
And so she's usually really good with it. So whenever she comes off as vaguely uncomfortable, it's like, yeah, she didn't want to say that.
Yeah.
You can tell.
Sort of like the whole Bayley, this is your life.
Oh, yeah. That was terrible. Anyways. So, yeah, we got Mickie James versus Alexa Bliss.
Solid match, too.
This is a fantastic match, dude. Mickie James, she still has it, dude. She can still put on these really good matches. And Alexa's getting better by the match, too.
Yeah.
They gave this match some time, too.
Yeah. Here, I got the time.
You have the time?
Up. Yes. 11 minutes.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
11 and a half minutes.
It was, yeah.
That was the third longest match of the night.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah, solid match. The finish, at one point, Alexa misses Twisted Bliss. That's her top rope move. Mickie James hits a top rope drop kick. Alexa kicks out at two.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point, Alexa's kind of in the corner, kind of looking like she didn't want to wrestle anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The ref's kind of distracted. Alexa grabs Mickie, pulls her into the turnbuckle. Mickie hits her head in the second turnbuckle. Alexa follows it up right away. DDT picks up the win.
Yeah.
And then Mickie James gave a really, seemed to be a heartfelt interview afterwards saying.
It felt like a goodbye interview.
Kind of, but then she'd also say, this is the last time you'll see me challenge for the title.
She was saying,
I'll be champion again at some point.
I think this was WWE's way of saying, so we're not going to put the title on you because you have a certain role. However, we want to give you a spotlight and show our appreciation for you so you can cut this really cool promo here.
Yeah.
So it was very heartfelt. Everything she's been doing, she seems super grateful to be doing what she's doing right mm-hmm. now. That's always good to see, too.
Yeah. Excuse me. Backstage, Kurt Angle in his T-shirt. I would assume his singlet underneath.
Yeah.
Getting warmed up. In walk Ambrose and Rollins. They talk for a bit, and they say, we're not here to talk strategy.
Right.
And I believe it's Rollins raises.
Of course it's Rollins. Of course it's Rollins. He's so happy to be here.
Shield swap vest.
Yeah.
And then Ambrose pretty much says, yeah, you're in. Mm-hmm. You're in all the way.
Yeah.
And Kurt Angle's member of the Shield now. Confirmed.
Who was happier that day, Kurt Angle or Seth Rollins?
Can there be a tie?
I think it's probably all the happy, right?
Yeah.
Because in the pre-show interview, they
talked about the excitement for teaming up with Kurt Angle.
Let me ask you something.
And Ambrose was typical Ambrose, and then Seth Rollins could barely contain his glee.
Deep down.
What?
If given the tough choice of choosing which universe you're going to enter into, does Seth Rollins enter into meningitis universe or non-meningitis universe? Is he happier to team with Roman, or is he totally geeked to team with Kurt Angle, knowing full well that once Roman is cured, he'll get his moment with the Shield again? I think he'd prefer this moment, the Kurt Angle moment.
Oh, I think definitely short term. I imagine, especially when he got into WWE, at that point, Kurt Angle is long gone.
Yeah.
He probably never thought that moment would ever happen.
Right, exactly.
But now that it's here, now that it has happened.
Yeah.
Because
there's no reason for him ever to team with Kurt Angle again.
No.
You know what I mean? So it's like,
it was just a moment in time.
I'm sure he would have chosen the red meningitis pill. No. Sorry, Roman. Enjoy this from bed.
Yeah.
All those people. And let me ask you something. We talked about this during the live stream, but a lot of people didn't want to sit through us sitting on a couch doing nothing. Oh, no, we can talk about it when we get to the match.
What? No, tell me now.
I was going to say, the match itself. I was going to talk about the booking of the match.
Oh, it was all over the place.
Do you think... No, I know that. Do you think that it was Kurt Angle simply placeholder for Roman Reigns after having thought about it overnight?
To be honest, I haven't thought about it
at all. You haven't thought about it? Okay. Well, we'll get to it when we talk about the match. Let's continue.
Okay. So after that, Elias, again, on the ramp, wants to continue a song.
Yeah.
Once
Why
again,
of course.
Pelted by produce from Jason Jordan,
the greengrocer, with his full cart. Here's the thing about it, too, is that the sheer look of glee on Jason Jordan's
face. Oh, he was happy. He knew that was a great idea.
I wonder whose idea it was.
I hope it was Jason Jordan's.
Me, too. So that's that way to grab the brass ring there.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, guys, I noticed in the back of the arena there's a cart. Can we have somebody go
the
out
only
and
thing,
get,
the
like,
only thing
a
missing,
ton of green
the only
grocery?
Thing, there's two things missing. One, a gong. Two, a hook.
Yeah, okay.
So he could have, also old-timey, the hook to get the lousy axe off
or
stage.
Or the broom.
Yeah.
Broom him
off. Or the gong, like gong show.
The gong, yeah. I know what the gong show is.
Either of those would have been great.
How great was that movie? That was a great movie. Was it called Confessions of a...
Dangerous Mind.
Dangerous Mind. Boy, that was a good movie.
Yeah, it was good.
That was an underrated movie right there.
It was Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
He's great.
He's great in everything. Right?
I think it was George Clooney's directorial debut, too.
I know.
Apparently, Charlie Kaufman was not happy with how that movie turned out.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so
how
I thought
he
I read.
Been unhappy with that? Wow, interesting.
I thought I read that somewhere. I could be making stuff up. I don't know.
Could be.
Next, for the Cruiserweight title, Enzo versus Kalisto. The weakest match on the card because Enzo is still learning how to wrestle.
Whoa.
Well, he is. There's that one spot where he's trying to make up a submission move.
Man, I was this close. I was on the verge of saying, hey, look, Enzo's learning how to keep up with Kalisto's offense. And then he totally botched a move. It was the although, to be honest, that looks like a really difficult move to sell. The one where he does the leg,
the short
thing.
The short Hurricane Rana.
The Hurricane on the ground. The Franken ground.
No, I know.
Groundensteiner.
But that was like by far, I think, the worst sell of it I've seen because he was a good second and a half.
Oh, I've never seen anybody sell it like that. That was terrible.
Yeah.
It was awful. But
the result was what we wanted, though.
There's been a little improvement.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's kinda, I mean, you can't be in there with those guys on a constant basis and not improve a little bit.
You would hope so.
So
especially if when he has the title, if he's doing house show matches. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
So the finish saw Enzo poke Kalisto in the eyes, hits his finisher, which I don't remember what he calls it, but it's Eat Defeat. Picks up the win.
Yeah, didn't he only, like, name it? He, like, named it once, and then we haven't heard?
No, they said it on 205
Live. Have they?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then afterwards, Enzo dropped a promo or an interview where he just kind of talked trash to the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people are, like, bummed about that, too. Like, the crowd... It's one of those things where the crowd is so used to cheering for him. And, in fact, they know. I think my thing about that is I think when his music hits, Enzo is a little bit of a shot in the arm of adrenaline.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, to whatever's going on, you know something is going – he's a pep. You know? He's an
upper. Well, I think people are still going to be hyped for his stuff he says when he comes out. You know, my name is Enzo Mori, so on and so forth. People still like to say that along with them.
Yeah.
Sort of like they did with New Age Outlaws.
Mm-hmm.
So people are still... It's like he's a face for those moments. As soon as he hits the ring to drop a promo, then it's kind of hit or miss. Some people still cheer for him.
He's still funny. Like he can,
he's still funny.
He's a witty guy.
He can still come up with some interesting lines.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the references he makes are just too obscure. They
I mean, you know? He still has that problem where, like, you know, 40% of what he says could be easily chopped out.
Mm-hmm.
But he still has, like, I still chuckle from time to time with his comedic timing.
Yeah.
And with the stuff that he says. I mean, a lot of it just, you know, obviously goes over my head or I just don't care about.
Yeah.
But he's still a pretty funny guy. And I think he's just, Enzo is one of the most fully realized characters in the entire roster.
Yeah,
you know
exactly
who he is. You know exactly what he's getting. And he brings energy to whatever he's doing, whether it's good or bad. And people respond to energy regardless of if it's going to be in heel form or not.
Uh-huh.
And they're so used to cheering for him that you instantly get this thing of, oh, cool, Enzo's going to come out. Like you said, he's going to do his thing. And then he'll run people down. But the bottom line is if you'd rather, you know, look, I think Kalisto's great in the ring and everything. But, you know, what do we always say? We like characters, you know? And Enzo is a hell of a character. And so I would rather see, I'll be honest, I'd rather see Enzo as champion and see all these other great cruiserweights, you know, chasing him, like Cedric Alexander.
Yeah.
Chasing him than Kalisto, who I just, he opens his mouth and I just want to, you know.
Yeah.
Not listen. I want to change the channel. I tune out.
So we have a couple super chats we missed.
Super chat.
Let's get them done right now.
Let's get them done.
Oh, there's actually quite a few. Sorry. Oh, my goodness. There's quite a few.
Christian
Johnson, $20. $20 for 20 years of friendos. Thank you. Devin Martinez, $5. He was at the show last night. Very disappointed he didn't get to see Drew Gulak's PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah.
Wolf Windwalker Lalo, $20. Love your stuff. Been listening for 2 years. It got me through rough times, but back to wrestling. Too sweet to Steve and firm handshake to Larson.
Thank hard times, much. Baby.
Dummy Ray, $2. You dang California liberals.
Dang California liberal elites, man. We're all terrible.
Elitists.
We're all awful. So anyways, like you said, Enzo got the cheating win by poking Kalisto in the eye.
Yes.
Is that cheating or is that dirty tactics?
Dirty tricks. Well, I guess, wait. That's a DQ, so that's cheating.
Okay, there you go.
If the ref saw it, cheating. Yeah. It would have been a DQ, so that is cheating.
Okay, there you go. Good clarification.
Next, probably the most anticipated match on the entire card.
Woo!
Former Bullet Club leader, AJ Styles, versus man. Bullet Club founder.
Too sweet, Larson. Come on,
Finn Balor.
You son of a...
No.
Ooh.
Read my shirt, Bullet Club Hunter. I don't too sweet.
There you go. Anyways.
Right in the way.
The great thing about this match is that it was just the tip of the iceberg for what you could have got with these guys.
Yep.
Man, I wanted some more false finishes. I wanted a kick out. You mentioned last night, a kick out of the Styles Clash. I wanted a kick out of the Coup de Grace. I wanted all that stuff. They didn't do it, but they managed to pull off one hell of a match.
Yes.
You know, didn't need a build up. The story was in a time long before the WWE.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And they were not afraid to reference it at all.
I love
it. Early on, you could tell there was, I don't know if it's because AJ Styles had just traveled like basically an entire day to get to the show.
Yeah.
Or they didn't have time to work out the match before.
Oh, yeah, they were a little off.
There was a couple spots in the beginning of the match that were a little off, but for the second half of the match, it was crisp, good wrestling.
Yeah.
Good storytelling. And it wasn't quite the full-on New Japan style match that we all know these two gentlemen can put on wonderfully.
Mm-hmm.
Still a really good match, really enjoyable. And, you know, the end is what everybody really wanted to see.
Yeah.
Everybody really wanted to see AJ and Finn too sweet, and we got that moment.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Kind of wish the club could have been there as well.
Yeah.
But we'll take what we get. Some really cool spots in this match. Finn Balor hits 1916. I think that's what the move's called, that kind of reverse lifting DDT.
I love that move. I actually kind of wish that would be his.
It was for a while.
For a while it was, yeah.
After he sprained his ankle doing the coup de grace.
Yeah.
AJ kicks out at two. Finn climbs the top rope for a coup de grace. AJ hits his crazy Pele kick while Finn's standing on the top rope. It was pretty neat. Right after that, AJ hits the springboard Frankensteiner onto Finn. Only gets a two count, though. AJ misses the springboard 450. And then Finn hits clothesline, drop kick, coup de grace, picks up the win.
Yeah. Clean victory.
Good win for Finn.
Yeah.
Heading into his rumored feud against Brock Lesnar for a Royal Rumble.
And, of course, at the end.
Too sweet.
Too sweet. And AJ even clarified, because some clown on Twitter was giving him guff, saying, I can't believe Vince McMahon flew AJ out an entire day just to throw middle finger up at the Young Bucks. Now, AJ responded by saying this had nothing to do with Vince.
Yeah.
This was two guys recognizing the respect they have and the history they have together because we're Bullet Club for life. However, that doesn't mean that WWE isn't using this.
Oh, that's their Twitter banner now.
It's their Twitter banner! Is this too sweet? If that's not a big F you to the Young Bucks, I don't know what is. And here's the thing.
I saw several Bullet Club members tweet about that moment. And they're all very respectful.
Yeah.
You know, saying pretty much essentially once you're Bullet Club for life.
Yeah, but there wasn't a whole lot of like, they didn't like tweet the picture or anything saying, oh, we love these guys. There's no like, you know, warmth there. Because it sucks, man. It sucks that what happened, you know, with that stuff. But the thing is like, look, we love the Young Bucks. We love the Death.
Yeah.
We love the Elite. We love Kenny and all those guys. And they are much more than a simple hand gesture. They really are.
Yeah,
They don't need it. It's just, you know, you've got the two probably most iconic members of Bullet Club, historically speaking, not including Jeff Jarrett, of course.
Or Bone Soldier.
I'm sorry, or Bone Soldier. Or Chase Owens. But you've got these two guys.
Or Cody Hall.
you trump me there, dude. And they're throwing up the two sweet right there. I got chills down my spine, and the WWE can't say, you know what, we've got these guys.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that's pretty cool.
The Lion 72 with a $5 super chat, wanted to bring this up during the course of the show, too, so thank you for reminding me. How rough was the coup de grace
Balor? Oh, my God, I know.
Stood on Styles after hitting it. Yeah, that was a pretty rough one.
I told you, that was a low-key coup de, because he does the double healing over the Warrior's way, cheesy. But he does it, and it looks like that fool's out to hurt people.
Yeah.
This and we when you saw the replay, he like lands on like arm and kind of rib.
Yeah.
Woo.
I'm hoping AJ's arm took the brunt of it. We have one more super chat from Frisco Flame, $2. If you got a dime for every year of friendship, so yeah, about $2, I guess.
It sounds right.
Thank you. So really good match, solid match.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully, there's more to this program. Yeah. They'll do Team AJ versus Team Finn. We talked about it a bit last night during the stream and who would be on which team.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
Next.
Wait, let's go back to this. I just want to mention this real quick. Cause that would be great at Survivor Series, but do you think there's any thought in Vince's head over the amount of buzz that this sort of generated? We both know that Finn's probably going to be taking on Brock at, what do you think?
Rumble.
Rumble, right? Is there anything in Vince's head that's thinking, man, to have both these guys on the same brand could really... Because here's the thing about Finn. He's a tad bit redundant on Raw. Why not bring him to SmackDown?
Well, that'd be great.
You know? And then you can have, like, a really extended program. You got Finn. I mean, I know we had him versus... We had him versus... Yeah, we did have him versus Nakamura in NXT.
Yeah, they had one
match.
But you
can do that even more.
Yeah.
Bring him in there with AJ. And I know there's plenty of faces on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, even bring the club over there... And then you got all sorts of storyline potentials where anybody can be a heel, anybody can be a face, or they can all just be tweeners.
Yep.
There's a lot, so much you could do, much more I think you could do on SmackDown. I wonder if any part of Vince or Triple H or any of those guys are thinking, man, we need to figure out a way to make that happen.
I know.
Maybe post-Mania after AJ Nakamura's got it out of their system.
Yeah.
I think that'd be special.
Oh, I think it'd be great. Next, Elias, in the ring this time, tries to sing a song. He gets a couple lines of lyrics in, interrupted by Jason Jordan's theme.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a match. Yeah. Elias versus Jason Jordan. Another really strong showing for Jason Jordan.
Jason Jordan is awesome in the ring.
He is awesome in the ring.
He's really, really good. And I'm telling you, you get these amazing wrestling chops, and then you combine it with a Green Grocer gimmick, and then you have got yourself, in my opinion...
That's a Hall of Famer.
I was going to say Universal Champion.
Hall of Famer.
Touche. Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Talk about the road
one
to glory.
That's the one thing I wish they had done with this match is have Jason Jordan come down to the ring with the shopping cart.
I agree.
Full of produce.
I know.
Still throwing it
at
Elias because they can clean up the ringside area, change ring mats before the main event.
You're going to be even better.
There'll be no mess.
He's coming down. Not only is he chucking it at Elias, but he starts throwing it at the audience.
Yeah.
Tweener. Tweener Green Grocer.
Well, you guys
want some of that? Some of that?
That's not what it is. He throws it at Elias because he thinks Elias stinks.
Yeah.
But he's throwing it out to the crowd because he's encouraging healthy eating habits.
There you go.
But head of romaine.
Yeah.
Celery.
But he does it with some stank. He's like, here. Here.
Well, he's trying to reach the back row. That's why.
Yeah. You fat. You fatty. You need this.
I think we're taking different routes to the same idea.
Yeah, that's great. It's all good. It's all collaboration there, pal.
So, anyways, another really solid match from Jason Jordan. I really like him. I just wish they would get the character issues worked out so he could actually start working his way up the card.
Yeah, I know, man.
Instead of getting kind of gimmicky wins.
Yeah.
Because I'm still not sure. Well, I'm pretty sure this wasn't a botch, but the finish saw
this was weird.
Jason Jordan reversed a suplex attempt into a cradle and pick up the win, even though it looked clear as day that Elias, first of all, kicked out before the three count.
Yeah.
And even before that, his left shoulder wasn't down.
Yeah.
Thing is, the ref wasn't in position. He wasn't around facing the shoulders. He was on facing only Elias's right shoulder, if I remember correctly. So he couldn't see that his other shoulder was up, and I guess he couldn't see the kick out.
Yeah.
So,
I like this right here. Wicked Raven 13 just paid $2 to tell us that it's pronounced coup de grace when it's actually technically pronounced coup de grace.
I've heard either way.
Yeah.
Corey Graves says coup de grace, so I'm just doing what
I'm
Corey
going
Graves
with what he says. But thank you for the super chat. Yeah. We appreciate it.
So I don't know if that's a storyline beat that's going to come into play later, because I think apart from losing to Finn Balor, this would have been the first time Elias has lost in a one-on-one match, I think.
Because
he lost once to Finn on Raw.
Yeah.
So... I don't know.
Yeah, it was weird. It's kind of the match where it really doesn't matter. But then the look on Elias's face, again, it could just be him acting, as you say. But he also looked kind of, like, confused. Like, what the heck? So, I don't know. They'll probably bring up that maybe if they want to continue.
They showed the replay a lot.
They did. I wonder if they're going to continue this, you know. I mean, if they're going to do this, like, it's maddening when they do it in an AJ versus Kevin Owens match. But when they do it in a match like this, it really doesn't matter. Who really cares? You know, nobody's going to be up in arms over this. Anyways, that led to the main event, which was a mess. But holy crap, it was so much fun.
Yeah, it was
this
all over the place.
This was an overbooked
disaster of a match, but oh my God, it was so entertaining. I love this match. It was great.
35 minutes long.
Yeah.
Long. So you knew it was going to be great when the Shield walked down to the ring, and first is Seth and Dean, because when Seth was handing Kurt the vest, mm-hmm. it was a bit of a cliffhanger.
So it,
wasn't,
yeah.
it wasn't like Kurt grabbed it and put it on right there. Yeah. They just left us with that image of, yeah. oh, was, or the thought, oh, is Kurt
going
to...
Although Seth did say, we're going full Shield tonight, which I took to mean, I think a lot of people are like, okay, so they're going to do Roman's music, they're going to do everything.
They had the original Titantron, too.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So they, Seth and Dean walk down first through the crowd, and they look behind them, and down walk
Here comes
Kurt
Dad.
Angle. Kurt Angle in full-on yeah. Shield gear.
Yeah. With the most glowing face. The happiest, big, glowing face I've ever seen on a human before.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. He raises his arms like this, and he just has proud, happy. Oh, he's been waiting.
Yep.
He has been waiting to wrestle again. You know why, Larson? Because he's a wrestler.
That's why. And this match just started out as an absolute brawl. He has 8 men in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Tornado rules, so mm-hmm. there's no tagging, obviously.
Yeah, screw that.
So just brawling all over the place. Pretty quickly, people going through announced tables. Braun and Kane were set up on different tables.
Mm-hmm.
Dean and Seth scale ladders. We get a frog splash from Seth onto Braun. Elbow from Dean onto Kane.
Mm-hmm.
And this is within the first, 5 minutes.
Oh, it was all over the place.
Right after that, the bar isolates Kurt Angle. Start working him over. He comes back. And he starts dropping German suplexes.
Oh, rolling German suplexes and then just dropping them on everybody.
Braun comes to, sets up a table, or a table's already set up. Power slams Angle through the table.
Yeah.
Angle's out of the match.
So, okay, at that point. Now, you said you were sure about this, but then I made the point later on. There's precedent for, because my question is, do you think this would be booked the exact same way with Roman in the match, and you said they would never have taken Roman out of the match, and they did it 2 years ago at the Rumble.
Yeah, but I don't know if they would do it again.
Now, I know, because it got a lot of criticism back then, and deservedly so.
Yeah.
But then there was the moment later on when he comes back, the music pops, but this time it's Kurt Angle's music. If it was Roman, it would have been his music, and you're trying to train.
It would have been the Shield's music.
Right. Look, there is a slight difference.
Well, just some letters at the beginning, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Or words, sorry.
And I think it would have been the Roman variation.
Oh, yeah.
At this point, they're trying to train the audience to pop when they hear his music. And I think they would have taken him out of return, I do. I think this
here's the thing. I mean, logistically, it would make sense because when you have 2 days to book a match and you already mm-hmm. have it all laid or a lot of it laid out.
35-minute match.
But
do you really want Roman to be carted out of there like
no,
that?
No, there's that because it's been done. It was lambasted the first time. Two, I don't think him returning will get the pop that they want him to get.
I wonder if it would have been more of a, because him and Braun have such a history, and Braun's the one who slammed Kurt through the table. Number one. I have to say this.
Oh, credit to Braun.
Braun cradling Kurt Angle like a little bit. Like, he could have power slammed Alabama through that table. I'd have been totally fine with it because he cradled Kurt Angle like a baby. Like, just a perfect little baby. And he put his own arms and, side body here through the table. So Kurt was just landing in a pillow of Braun Strowman. I'm sure it was a bit more harsh than that.
Yeah.
But credit to Braun for really trying to take care of Kurt Angle. That much was obvious.
Yes.
But I wonder if they would have gone down the route. This is a speculation, pure speculation. If Braun would have taken out Roman Reigns, but not carted to the back, maybe he would have put him through the barrier, maybe done a couple more
It would have taken more than just one power slam through a table to take out Reigns.
Right. It would have been something ridiculous where people were dropping their, oh my God.
Yeah.
And they would have made a bit more production about taking
it. Would
him out
have
of
to
it.
Be something on par with what Braun did to Brock.
Yeah.
SummerSlam.
Yeah. Or he pulls out a gun, shoots
like
him in the
stack up four tables.
Yeah.
Somehow power slam it through all four.
Shoots him in the leg.
Something like that. Anyways, Kurt Angle's taken to the back by medical staff, so Team Miz takes over, mm-hmm. starts working over the Shield. Hard chairs. Okay.
Are we at the point where Dean does the Hogan chair shot?
the really gentle.
Oh, that was very. That's right beginning the match. Because Kurt Angle is hitting him with chairs like it's 2003.
Dude, he was laying into him.
Because Kane's back was instantly all red. I mean, to Kurt's credit, he wasn't. Right. There was no headshots.
Yeah, there's no unprotected.
But there was one shot from Dean where it looked like this.
Yeah.
Like he just touched him with the
and
chair.
And who was that on? I was like, was that on Braun?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, the guy who could probably take a nasty one.
Yeah.
He was blasting
Yeah,
people.
He was. He was laying into Kane.
Yeah. That's when men were men, people.
So Team Miz takes over the match. Shield makes a comeback. I believe during that, Kane gets a chair, swings for Dean, I believe. Dean gets out of the way. He hits Braun in the back with it. Braun gets angry. Miz tries to keep the peace. It allows the Shield to get the upper hand again.
Mm-hmm.
They fight some more. Numbers game is too much. Miz, again, has control. The bar tries to razor edge Dean through a table. The table doesn't break.
Yeah.
Dean had trouble breaking tables.
Somebody said, I didn't go back and rewatch
I
it.
Did, but Cesaro had a good reaction. He just did that. He did a Yano pretty much. After the table didn't break.
What did Dean do?
I heard he laughed.
No, that's what I was going to go back and watch, and I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Okay, all right.
But people in the chat were saying that Dean was laughing that he didn't go through the table.
All right.
So,
I wonder if he's reacting to Cesaro. Cesaro looks like he's having such a good time out there.
Yeah. A couple super chats. Wolfwind Walker, lol. $5. I like how you guys predicted the 5% chance of a botched finish, and we see one.
Yeah, because that was here. Somebody said, does Asuka have any chance of winning? And I said, well, in any match, there's like a 5% chance that a botched finish is going to happen, which I think it might be high. But you said, yeah, one in every 20, so that's high. But then we got to see what looked like a botched finish.
What could have been. Yeah. We don't know for sure. The Lion 72, $5. Do you think Kurt is more over as Roman Reigns than Roman Reigns? Yeah.
Obviously, yes. Completely.
Andrew Scott, £2, says, keep being the upbeat voices of WWE.
Hey, credit to us. We were the top TLC live stream reaction show last night, according to Craig over there at Game Attack.
Yeah.
Shout out to our friend Craig at Game Attack.
That table didn't break, so they set the table up in the corner, throw Dean through it so we get a broken table spot.
Yeah.
And then they bring the Shield up to the ramp area.
Well, Miz is trying to make a point. At any point, they could have easily pinned one of them.
Oh, yeah.
The Shields have been done. Miz is trying to make a point. Again, the villain biting off too much, more than he could chew. This was great. This was fantastic.
So he starts waving for something to come out in a garbage truck.
Garbage truck, yeah. A dump truck.
No, a garbage truck.
Which one's a dump truck?
Dump truck's used for construction. They put debris in it, and it's got a flat bed.
Oh, okay. So it's a garbage truck. Okay, there you go.
I know because I had Tonka.
I stand corrected.
I had Tonka toys when I was a kid, and I had a dump truck.
Well, there you go.
Garbage truck comes out. Miz team tries to throw Shield into it. Shield says no.
They wake up.
They climb the top of the garbage truck, do double cross bodies off of it.
Yeah.
Onto
all four except for the Miz.
Yeah.
Yeah, all four except for the Miz.
Because he's still trying to direct everything. And the Shield chases after the Miz.
Did you mention earlier the Braun-Kane mix up there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. I wasn't paying attention.
And they catch him right before he can escape through the crowd.
Yeah.
The Miz is just like running all over the place.
That was great.
And then they make a huge mistake.
Yes, a tactical error.
They take Miz back up to the ramp where the other four members of his team are. If they had stayed in the ring.
They could have got the pin and won the match.
Yes.
Right then.
Seth, apparently not being the architect for a while, is out of practice.
This really does, it sounds like Roman might have been the brains behind
Maybe.
The operation all those years.
You would have known.
Because these guys were not, again, like earlier when the Kane-Braun thing was going down, instead of laying low and let them tear into each other, they attacked.
They struck directly.
Exactly.
Immediately.
Bad idea.
So they chased Miz back up to the ramp, at which point I think Kane and Braun both get involved again.
Mm-hmm.
And around this time, Kane just chokeslams Braun through the stage.
This was brilliant. I don't care that there was like, everything seemed to be fine.
Yeah.
And then Kane just decided.
Well, there's a break in the action because the Shield was down.
Right.
And so Kane was like, all right, you upset me earlier. Chokeslam through the stage.
Yeah. And he's standing there, and it's a beautiful shot. The TV direction was immaculate.
You get a full body shot of Kane.
And he's silhouetted like there's backlighting.
A little bit, yeah. But he still gets some key light from the front. And so it's a long shot, and you see a little bit of the hole he made from chokeslamming Braun through the stage, and you see Braun's hand extend out and grab Kane by the ankle.
Yes.
Kane looks up, and there's the floating chairs above him.
Right.
He pulls one down,
and they
all come down.
All come down on Braun.
Oh, my God.
It was pretty awesome.
It was beautiful. It was so great. The crowd was eating up, and there was a couple of people here in chat that were there last night. There were a couple of people on our Twitter feed that were there. And what a lucky, lucky crowd that was to get to experience all that. I'm just going to say that really quick.
Yeah.
All these changes that took place. It could have been another, you know, weird snooze fest between Finn and Bray. They get Finn and AJ. And then you get Kurt Angle's return, and you get the 35-minute complete disaster.
I think there was at least a few people that I saw on Twitter that tweeted at us or I've seen in chat that said they bought tickets after the changes.
Yeah, yeah, a bunch of people did. Yeah.
Changes were made.
Yeah.
Because they were far more excited about it. Anyways, so Braun's laying under a pile of chairs.
Yeah.
Kane double choke slams the Shield through two tables again. Yeah. Dean's table does not break.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is with that.
I don't know.
Right after that, Braun rises from the pile of chairs.
And the close-up they did on Kane, when Kane was processing the level of crap that he was now in,
yep.
Because he thought, and for anybody else, this would be absolutely true, he thought Braun was done.
Yeah.
And they did the perfect close-up, and he sold this. Maybe it's his new politician gear kicking into effect, because politicians, as we all know, they have to have good acting skills to act like they care about people. And Kane, that close-up on him, of course, he's done movies, too.
Yeah, he has. He's starting to see no evil.
That the look on his face was so much going on through that mask, even through the contacts that I think he wears. Maybe he doesn't wear contacts anymore. It was masterful.
It was really good.
Because they go to these long shots of everybody, T-Bar and The Miz, all crap in their pants, but then they go to the close-up for Kane, and he's the one who did it.
I know.
Oh, it was great.
So Miz, again, tries to keep the peace, but nope. Braun goes after him, goes after T-Bar, tries to throw Kane into the garbage truck.
Yeah.
Kane says no, and then Miz team attacks Braun.
Mm-hmm.
Braun goes in the garbage truck. Braun is now garbage.
Oh, he is. Like the ultimate payoff for that Braun,
I know.
Original
it's
Braun
like
storyline.
Literally the only reason they brought the garbage truck is to reference a line he made like 6 months ago.
Exactly. And he threw Kalisto into the garbage, into the dumpster before.
No, it's what he said. Roman Reigns is garbage.
Right. But then everybody was garbage to him, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Anyways, this was fantastic. This was so great. This was so great. And then everybody's freaking out. I think the crowd started chanting, that was murder.
That was murder.
Because, like, you don't know, I don't really know the mechanics of a garbage truck. I'm pretty sure it just scoops up the garbage and puts it into a giant depository of trash.
Yeah, which I'm guessing was probably empty. They probably didn't actually scoop Braun into.
Well, they probably took some loose card, because you see some flotsam in there.
Yeah.
So they took some, like,
the
loose cushioning packing stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Some of those little styrofoam bits.
Yeah.
So shortly after that, Kurt Angle comes back out. His music
his
hits.
His music hits.
His Titantron hits.
He wasn't in the singlet.
He was still in Shield gear. And then doles out some Angle slams. One to Sheamus on the bottom of the ramp.
Yeah.
Another one to Cesaro through a table right by the barricade.
Yeah, because it's a bad idea. He's coming down the ramp. They're in the ring. And if you start running at the action hero one by one, you know, you're getting taken out. And that's what he did. It was great.
The Shield double spear Kane through the barricade in homage to Roman Reigns.
Yeah, that was great.
But then The Miz hit skull-crushing finale on Angle in the ring.
Kurt Angle kicked out.
It's
beautiful. That was freaking beautiful,
that
man.
That was great. It was like on strong. 2 3/4.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and it was like
right
on a hair.
The hand comes down.
Yeah.
Angle puts Miz in the ankle lock. We think that's it. We think Miz is tapping out.
Mm-hmm.
Miz reverses and kicks Angle out of the ring. Angle kind of takes a nasty bump.
Mm-hmm.
He comes to the entire Shield, surrounds Miz in the ring. Miz is the last member of Miz team in the ring.
Yeah.
Miz eats all the finishers.
Yep.
So he gets the cool knee from Seth.
Yeah.
Dirty D's from Dean.
Yeah.
And an Angle slam from Kurt. They all look at each other, the Shield, triple powerbomb time.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Angle does his best Roman Reigns
Angle
impression.
Angle does the ooh thing, yeah.
Triple powerbomb of Miz, Angle pins Miz, Shield wins.
Yep. I thought for sure it would be Angle making Miz tap out. I didn't think about this. Miz
triple powerbomb, I know.
Miz getting annihilated, just annihilated. Oh, man. This was fantastic. And, dude, you could see, by this time, the match had gone long enough so that all the welts and bruises, they had all surfaced
to hell
on everybody. You look at the back of Kane, and he's red as can be. It's just everybody's a complete mess. This was so much damn fun.
It was fun. It was a mess.
Kudos to the WWE for booking this.
We got a few more super chats here. Frisco Flame, $2. I believe referencing tag team. I think Miz remembered the High Flyers.
Well, yeah.
With the garbage truck.
That was, that was good.
Christian Johnson, $10. Some people are teasing this era in WWE being called the reality era. Power rank what the following era in the WWE could be called. He's partial to the cartoon era going full circle back to the 80s. Don't think that's going to happen, but...
what can we call this era?
No, the next era.
Oh, the next era. Are we supposed to be
reality
in the
reality
era right
era,
now?
Yeah, that's what Triple H called it once, I think. What's the decent play on words where they really try to... game fans and the thinking dirt sheet stuff is real and they end up swerving them.
The meta era.
There you go, meta era.
What about this? That could be like number two. What's like, because so many of the people coming up now are from the indie ranks. They're really going hard on the indie era. The indie era.
Yeah.
There you go, yeah. The bingo hall
era.
Well,
I think number one should be the Triple H era when he assumes control of the company.
There you go, that wins.
Do you want to take the next one?
Bobby the Sheep. Hello, Stephen Larson. Konnichiwa from Tokyo.
Hi.
AJ and Balor was great. Do you think they'll revisit the match for WrestleMania? I'm going to say WrestleMania 35.
Yeah, a couple
this
years.
Early
maybe.
Contender for WrestleMania 35 for the Universal Championship.
Yes, agreed. The Lion, $72, $5. Did Kane go up in the polls for being an accomplice to murder?
I don't know if they have polls for mayoral races in...
I think they do, maybe just in local periodicals.
You think so?
I think so. I think, any somewhat sophisticated political operation does polling.
What is this place? Knox County?
Yeah.
Mayor of Knox County. I don't really know how that works.
But I think, also local newspapers will probably do polling.
You think
I'm sure Kane does his own internal polling.
Really?
I don't think so.
I think that stuff costs money to do.
Oh, yeah. I know it costs money.
Yeah.
Kane has money.
Well, Kane has money, but how much do you think he wants to sink into his own political campaign?
Depends how desperately he wants to be mayor.
You don't use your own money for political campaigns, man.
But if he really wants to have a huge advantage over his opponent,
just
sink a little bit of your own money. Get a really sophisticated polling system in place.
Hello, I'm calling. We're going to do a poll. Would you like to participate in a poll? How acceptable would it be for a demon from hell to be mayor of your hometown?
Okay. What if he was an accomplice to murder?
Likely, unlikely, very likely, somewhat likely.
Last one, Tony Bauer, $5. Crowd was so bored during Enzo Calisto that most cheers around the floor where he was sitting was from updates from the Timberwolves game.
Oh, nice.
Apparently they beat the
Cavs.
Cavs.
Like 20.
Oh, wait, the Timberwolves did? No.
Hold on, no.
They beat the Warriors, I think.
Some scrub team beat the Cavs by 20 2 days ago. It was the same day Curry and KD got chucked from their game. The Timberwolves beat who?
I thought they beat the Warriors.
Oh, really?
Because I think Wiggins hit like a half-court shot to win the game.
Oh, really? Are the Warriors winless now?
No, they're 1-2.
They've won a game?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they lost their opener to the Rockets.
I thought they lost their second one when Curry and KD got shot.
It might not have been the Warriors that they beat them.
Mm.
But I heard on the radio on the way over here that Wiggins hit a half-court shot to win the game.
That's rad.
I know. So, all in all, a really fun show.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what comes of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Thunder. That's what it was. Sorry. Yeah. Timberwolves beat the Thunder. What happens on Raw tonight? Lesnar's going to be there to respond to Jinder Mahal's challenge.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Man, I'm congested right now.
Yeah, that's all right. We're almost done. Is there a Raw preview? Let's look at WWE's official Raw preview and we'll find out. Brock Lesnar to respond to Jinder, as you said. There is this line here that just says, is anybody ready? Oh, for Asuka. Okay, so Asuka. So Emma said that she's not done. They'll probably have a rematch for Asuka. This might be a 3-minute one.
Yeah, if they have a rematch on Raw tonight, then that's when Asuka destroys Emma.
What will Kane have to say about his attack on Braun Strowman?
So we're going to get a match between them.
Look, man.
I'm all for it.
I'm all for that. Give me Big Bastard versus Big Bastard. I'm fine with that. That's Amore, but for how long? And so the Enzo Amore is obviously going to do something.
Uh-huh.
And what will be the extraordinary next step for Finn Balor? Because they're calling him the extraordinary Finn Balor.
ATH has an interesting idea. What if Lesnar says no?
He says
he just goes, don't think I will.
Yeah, don't think I will. All right, I'm going by it. Anyways, that's it for the show. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out. We really appreciate it. Let me roll up the audio here. Hopefully that'll work. And, yeah, thanks for hanging out. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Do you follow automotive news, or do you just like cars and want to see what the heck's going on? Well, then you might like Donut Media's new podcast, The Big Three. Hi, I'm James Pumphrey, and every week, me and my co-host slash two of my top five friends, Nolan Sykes and Joe Weber, unpack the latest and greatest in automotive news and trends on The Big Three. You'll also get a lot of laughs, hot takes, and personal insight on cars from the biggest car guys in automotive media. So, whether you're a hardcore enthusiast or just a person who goes, "Huh, that's a good looking car," check out The Big Three, available wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch the full videos at Donut Podcast on YouTube.